Welcome to the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show. Rob Sanders.
The coach is Will Muschamp. When they go on the field, he is automatically worth 9 points the other way. He is that galactically stupid.
Comrade Mike Dabreski.
Jeremy Pruitt is overrated.
And Kale Hall.
Vote for life. Fuck it.
The Rob, Comrade, and KO Podcast.
And welcome in to the latest edition of the Rob, Comrade, and KO Podcast. My name is Rob Sanders. Happy to spend a Wednesday evening with you as we get set for the games this weekend. As I welcome in one of my co-hosts, my friend from the upstate who was not napping this week, he is Kale Hall. Kale, welcome to the program, buddy.
Good evening, guys out there in YouTube land and Facebook land. I have only one thing to say. Time for the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show. So sit the fuck down in your seat.
Let's welcome the third member of our show. He is the valiant Russian Vladimir Putin's water boy, the Comrade. Comrade, hello.
It's good to be here on a great sports night. I mean, you got baseball playoffs, NBA finals going on. I mean, you name it, you got it going on. And of course, it's Wednesday, which is pick night. I love pick night because the computer is revved up and ready to pick winners. What do we do?
Yep. Well, we'll find out how great the computer is tonight as we get our picks set up here for the weekend. Final show before the games get here this week. We got, what, 8 games to pick right there, Comrade?
8 games, and knock on wood, none have been canceled yet. Let's hope that stays that way come Saturday. So.
Glenn says he loves the egg video, Kale. Way to take your medicine. You know what? We could say a lot of shit about Kale. My wife thinks Kale is going to have a heart attack in one of his videos and just fall out. A stroke, she says, from the other room. She's worried that's going to happen to you. But Kale is an honest man, though. And he does bet with his heart a little bit, and it ends up costing him, and he has to do some stupid shit. What was it? Sunday, he had 6 eggs broke on his head and a gallon of milk. I thought that he looked like he was going to drown, but Kale Hall came through with it. I was really worried about you, Kale.
That was rough. Pouring that gallon of milk, you wouldn't think so. But it was. That was very smothering.
Very smothering. You're right about that. All right. So, with that, we need to thank our sponsors really quick before we get into our picks. That is, of course, Callaway's Bar and Grill. 7 eggs. 7 eggs, Glenn Powell says. Yeah. So, with that... Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia, Highway 1 diagonal from the Walmart. They're having a big Golden Tee tournament this weekend, the Carolina Clash. Big, big deal for the folks at Callaway's. You can go by and order yourself some takeout, watch some games, all kinds of good stuff. Highway 1 diagonal from the Walmart in West Columbia. Also, we have Dennis Cyrilson from DNC Trucking and Transport. The No Spin Zone segment with the Comrade. Comrade, read away.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. Another week... Another loss coming from my sorry ass team. I wish we had a coach that was not an absolute drain on our program. I apologize to Pigskin Pete, Rob Sanders, and Dennis Wilson, who have said from the start that Will Muschamp is a disaster. I should listen to people who have more football knowledge than I do. Jeremy Pruitt beat my sorry ass team again. Betty Wilson hates a couple of things, me, and when little Dennis smells like country ham. It's utterly shameful to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
Deeble dobble, deeble dobble, deeble dobble do. Deeble dobble, deeble dobble, deeble dobble do. We are so much better than you.
Thank you, Virtual Kale. That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. Appreciate you sponsoring the show, Dennis, and yourself and Betty Wilson. You guys rock. We love DNC Trucking and Transport right here on the Rob and Comrade and Kale show. All right, so I'm going to share my screen with folks. 8 games to pick this week. 8 games to pick this week. So we're going to share the screen here so you guys can see what it looks like. There we go. As you can see, there's my email address, etc. First matchup, and we will let the comrade have the first matchup. Ole Miss plays at Kentucky. Kentucky is a 6.5-point favorite. Comrade, what do you got, buddy?
Once again, we are going strictly with the computer. We're not putting our head in this. All computer, 15-7 in the year with the computer, and we're not letting my head screw it up. All right, so the computer says it's been unreal. The computer, 15-7. Let me find my results on the computer. Hold on. Okay, here we go. The computer has Kentucky winning this game.
Miss Scrummy Bubbles.
But not covering the spread. Final score, Kentucky 31, Ole Miss 27. In a barn burner, take the Ole Miss Rebels to cover the spread, plus 6.5.
Lock it down. Kale, what is your pick for this game, buddy?
Well, I watched the Kentucky game on Saturday, and you know, they went on the road, and that was a dogfight with Auburn for three quarters. And they ended up not covering, lost, 29-13. But those last two Auburn touchdowns were on drives of, 27 and, 29 yards. So, I think Kentucky is a little bit better than what that final score indicated. I think they're going to lean on that offensive line. I think that Terry Wilson and crew can get going. I think the vertical passing game for Kentucky will start to work a little bit against this Ole Miss defense. And I like them to win here at home. And cover. I think he'll win by right out about a touchdown. This is just about right, but give me Kentucky.
You know, I've struggled with this pick because I like Lane Kiffin, and I like Coach Stoops up at Kentucky. My big thing with Kentucky is if you really watch that game, Kentucky was completely in it. I mean, they really, really were. In my opinion, when I stop and look at it, I think Kentucky's offense will shine this weekend. I think they're going to win. I think they'll cover that 6.5. Touchdown Terry Wilson's going to get the job done, and Kentucky will run up a little bit there on Ole Miss. I think they've probably scored 35 points this week. So give me Kentucky minus the 6.5. Mizzou at Tennessee. Now, this matchup, at the beginning of the season, Comrade picked that South Carolina would beat both of these teams. He's obviously already halfway there to being wrong, as Tennessee knocked off the Gamecocks last week. He's also on record as saying his Jeremy Pruitt is overrated. So I'm interested to see where the comrade's going to go with this. Tennessee, 11.5-point favorite at home. Comrade, what you got?
Once again, I just go by the computer right now. Now, my opinion is Tennessee is overrated and Pruitt's overrated. The computer does not know what I think. Okay? I just plug it in and let the results come out there. And this one was a shocker to some, but it makes sense to me. The computer has Missouri winning this game outright on the money line. Winning this game outright. I'm not sure this is with the Gamecocks, but anyway, winning this game outright and also winning this game pretty easily. The computer says Missouri 31, Tennessee 19. Put it on the money line. Go ahead and put it on the money line. It's probably plus 400 in the money line, I think. 31-19 Missouri. Take them with the 11.5 to be safe, but take the Missouri Tigers in this one. We'll let down game.
And if that happens, I don't think South Carolina beats Mizzou, to be completely honest with you. But, Kale, what's your thoughts on the Mizzou-Tennessee game? First road game of the season for the Tigers. What you got there, Kale?
Looking at the score of the Alabama game, you would think that they played pretty well. But they picked up a touchdown in garbage time, actually a couple of point touchdowns in garbage time against Alabama. Pretty much got stifled the rest of the game. Now, Tennessee's no Alabama. And, you know, I just like the way South Carolina was able to move the ball on the ground against Tennessee, especially to the right side, a lot in that game. Now, I think that Cade Mays is eligible now, so
yep.
That's going to just totally solidify the right side of their offensive line. So, you know, that will shut that down. But what am I? Good Lord, I'm confused here. I'm talking about two different sides of the ball. South Carolina was able to run the ball on the right side of Tennessee. Like, Missouri has better running backs than we do. And I think that they're going to keep this game grounded. I think they'll be able to boot the ball on the ground. I think that Drinkwitz will come up with some kind of game plan. So, I mean, they got a week of film. They got one game's worth of film on Tennessee. I don't think they're going to be doing anything drastically different than what they did against the Gamecocks. And I think that Missouri is a pretty decent team. And I felt this way going into the season, that they were going to be a little bit better than people were giving them credit for. Everybody was writing them off, you know, down there with Vanderbilt. I don't think so. I think they covered the spread here. I don't know that they're able to get it done on the road, but, I mean, they have had Tennessee's number in that stadium the past couple of times they've been there. Now, granted, this is totally new coaching staff, so you can kind of crush stuff like that out the window sometimes. But at any rate, I'm taking the Mizzou Tigers to cover against Tennessee.
You know, let me make sure I put this out there. I wasn't really impressed with Tennessee's effort. I thought they were three touchdowns better than South Carolina. So I put that out there, and I was wrong about that. I don't know if it was – you know, first game jitters, maybe. But I think South Carolina is one of the teams that's going to battle to stay out of the East basement. And I thought that Tennessee was going to quite possibly challenge to be in the top two of the SEC East. But after seeing Colin Hill come in from Colorado State with three ACL injuries and throw for 290 yards, even though, you know, he didn't have a whole lot as far as a per attempt. But he almost got 300 yards passing against that Vols defense. I wasn't really feeling it. But I think Mizzou has a team. If you watch and you look at the penalties against Alabama, they didn't have a lot. So I think that Tennessee is going to win, but I'm taking Mizzou to cover the 11.5. I just think that game will be close. They may get within that touchdown, a garbage touchdown late, and break that 11.5 mark there. So give me Missouri.
Tennessee did have some stupid
penalties
in that game.
They looked undisciplined against South Carolina. If they were a disciplined football team, they would have won by a lot.
Yeah, number 33 was bad.
Yeah,
and then about as bad as our J.J. Ingmar. He's terrible.
He had two sacks. Man. He had two sacks. So, yeah.
Yeah, he'll get you some PIs though. He was doing it last year, and he's still doing it. There you go. Once again, where's the damn coaching? Where's the coaching? Where's the dean of boys? Where's the leadership there? Same dude was costing you yardage last year. And it's cost you yardage again this year. That's the issue.
I value the intelligence of the comrade who says that Will Muschamp is the best fit at South Carolina.
Well, and that I think defense the is best just game, great, and that, we that had they're was, just was getting all these and guys. Way, so, and,
I mean, that's I mean, where the coaching is, Kale. I mean, maybe I don't know, but the comrade says he's the absolute best. So maybe we should support our co-host. Until they fire this motherfucker.
He had a great game defensively.
There.
I mean, if everyone played like Kim defensively against Tennessee, we win the game. So I don't mind a penalty here and there.
I don't doubt that. I don't,
as long as you produce. I'm more mad at Jamie Robinson when the punt comes and your first instinct is to run backwards. and not go try to catch the punt.
Well, but
and then everybody blames Cam Smith. So
who trained up Jamie Robinson there, comrade?
Oh, I'm not debating that. My more issue with the coaching is the fact that our special team still blows ass. We didn't catch punts last year. I believe that cost us the Missouri game last year.
Right.
I still go back to that Brian Edwards letting the ball drop beginning of the game, put us back there to start the game and led to all the shit. Catch the damn punt. I know it's not easy. It's not as easy said than done. It's hard to catch a punt.
Brock but says he still wonders who was telling.
And the funny thing was, in the game, Robinson caught two of them. And I remember texting my best friend, going, "Man, I can't believe it. I saw two punts. We caught two punts. Maybe we turned the corner." And sure enough, when it counted, if you watch that last punt, the punter punts it. Robinson goes backwards. Okay, the ball landed where he was originally at the 20-yard line.
It's bad coaching, comrade.
He goes backwards. I don't know what in the world they're doing, what they're thinking. Then people blame Cam Smith. It's not Cam Smith's fault. That's what happens when the ball bounces. It could bounce anywhere. You're supposed to catch the damn ball. That's the whole point of the punt. The only time that the ball drop is over your head at the 10-yard line, let it drop. So it's still – that's what pisses me off more than anything else. It's stuff like that costs us ball games.
Anyway, Brock wants to know how I still think that telling Robin is a good head coach. Yeah, it's the comrade. That's why I bring it up every show. Because the comrade, and Kale's talking about this too, the comrade doesn't like to admit that he's wrong. He was big on Darren Horn. He's admitted that on the show. He thought Darren Horn was going to be the next fucking Adolph Rupp. I mean, he thought that was absolute best coach ever. Then this guy Muschamp comes in. He thinks he's the best coach ever. And until Muschamp is fired, which if South Carolina cares about their football program, they would have done yesterday, figure out the money. And until he's fired, the program's not going to be any better. And I'm going to keep hitting the comrade in the face every single podcast we do because he has a love affair with Will Muschamp. It is silly.
Okay,
absolutely
first of all,
silly.
Since last year, I have been critical of Muschamp as well. So don't give me that crap. I call up Muschamp all the time.
I yield to the archives.
I was pissed off at him several times last year.
When I said he was stupid last week, you said you're stupid for saying that. I've got the clips, Mike. There's receipts, brother.
What?
There's receipts of you saying clips? Last week when we were talking about the Tennessee game, I said Will Muschamp gives them 9 points every game, and you go, that's stupid.
That's stupid. That's dumb. That's you being dumb.
What you should be doing is saying
that's you being dumb.
You should come on here on every show that we have if you cared about that. You know what? I question your loyalty to the football program.
Oh,
I really do.
You.
I don't question Cale Hall one bit.
Speaking of loyalty to the program, I heard during the Gamecock postgame show, you're referring to the Gamecocks as we, by the way.
No, I didn't.
Is that true?
I didn't. Go and find the tape. I've got receipts on my stuff.
Okay.
Go and find the tape, sir. Go and find the tape. I've got receipts on you, brother.
Got a little bit of chatter over there on YouTube. Tennessee fan. South Carolina only had 89 rushing yards. Cool. Yeah, but that last drive, which ultimately ended in the field goal to make the 31-27 margin. I mean, Tennessee's that Rudy Pooh defense was gashed. South Carolina run game from our 30 all the way down to like your 15-yard line.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden the drive stalled out. But I mean, they had them on their heels.
Well, we're going to talk more about the South Carolina game and how they're going to be a failure again this week. Oklahoma at Iowa State. That's the next matchup in our pick 'em. Oklahoma is a 7.5-point favorite. Of course, the Sooners coming off that game. Both of these teams have embarrassing losses. Iowa State lost to, Arkansas State? Help me out with that, Kale.
They lost to Louisiana Lafayette. Billy Napier. Billy Ball. That's not embarrassing.
God, who was unjustly fired by Dabo.
Yep.
Unjustly fired by Dabo.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
And Rob still thinks he just left on his own.
I mean, once again, we have the receipts to show. I know that you don't like this either, but Billy Napier leaves. The Clemson offense gets better.
He was fired.
It doesn't matter. Leaves fired, whatever. He left the Tigers, and their offense got better. So I hope he comes to South Carolina, because that would be just outstanding. Just outstanding. It would be awesome. Oklahoma and Iowa State, both teams have an embarrassing loss. Sooners are a 7.5-point favorite. Comrade, what's your pick?
Close ball game here. I think both teams kind of overrated. I think Oklahoma's kind of a little down year this year for them, a little rebuilding. Don't like their quarterback a whole lot. I think he's got some makes some bad decisions. I think it's a close game, and that 7.5 points is the difference. So that half point could be key. The computer has it this way: Oklahoma 36, Iowa State 31. Nail biter. Take the Cyclones to cover the 7.5-point spread.
All right. Kale, what's your pick, buddy?
Yeah, this is a team that Oklahoma hadn't traditionally played very well against, especially the past few years. I'm in the camp of if they have to get up off the mat. They were on the verge last week of blowing Kansas State out, and all of a sudden that game just took a total 360. I think they're a lot better than what the performance ended up being. I hate to do it, but I got to go against the grain here. I'm going to take them. I'm going to take Oklahoma in this one to cover and pray that they get that job done.
Yeah, my thing with this game is that I think Oklahoma's going to play with a chip on their shoulder. And I think they're embarrassed with what happened last week. And I think Iowa State, there. I mean, it's two teams trying to prove something. Iowa State's at home, though. And when you got that 7.5 at home, oh, man, it's tough. I say it's tough to get a win up there at Iowa State, but I think Oklahoma's going to go in there, and I think they hand it to them. So give me Oklahoma, and I'll give up the 7.5. Next matchup is Auburn at Georgia. Georgia is a 6.5-point favorite at home. Auburn, of course, rolls in after their win over Kentucky. Georgia had some issues in the first, quarter and a half, I guess, with Arkansas. I don't think that game was ever really in doubt, but they did have some issues before they managed to be able to put it away. This matchup, we're going to, I guess, Georgia's finally going to figure out what they're going to do with quarterback. It's going to be interesting. But some people are calling the transfer quarterback, they're calling him Fromm 2.0. I don't know if that's fair or not. We haven't really seen him play in a Georgia uniform yet. It seems like, from what I've read on Twitter, people are throwing Dwan Mathis to the Wolves. And what's the other guy? Stetson Bennett, I think, is his name. I didn't think that Georgia would have issues at quarterback, and I think at the beginning of the summer, it was all about Jamie Newman, and we thought that was going to be the way that Georgia went. But Comrade, we'll get your pick first on this. Georgia's what, a 6.5-point favorite? Are you going with the Bulldogs or the Tigers?
I'm still a big believer in Georgia. I think they're the best team in the East. They're struggling a little bit offensively. They're going to find their way, though. This is going to be an ugly game. This is going to be we're going to call this a Clemson co-ed game. Ugly. Ugly as hell, okay? I'm going to take Georgia, though. The computer has the Georgia Bulldogs winning 21-11. So Bulldogs cover and take the under. The under is like 51, I believe, something crazy like that. Take the under as well, for those who like to bet on the side. But Bulldogs find a 6.5. They win by 10 over the Auburn Tigers in an ugly, slugfest, bad offense ball game.
All right, Kale, what is your pick in this game, brother?
Yeah, despite that performance against Arkansas, I still think this is a really good football team, especially defensively. if they can find the rhythm, if JT Daniels can find a rhythm early on, if he is starter, I think Auburn kind of struggled a little bit offensively against Kentucky, which, had a decent defense with a decent amount of starters returning, but Georgia's defense is the elite. And, I just don't see Auburn being able to get much going against them all day long. looking at this one, past 5 years, Georgia 4-2 against spread against Auburn. I beat them like 13 out of the past 16 times. And I expect that trend to continue. I think they'll look a lot better at home this week. And I think that Georgia wins. I expect the Bulldogs to cover against Auburn.
The next match, I've got my pick in this game is, you know, SEC Dog over here normally says a lot of dumb things, but tonight he's right. People writing our obituary need to realize we played like crap and still won by the biggest margin in SEC games. My thing on that, I'm going to go with defense. And I think Georgia has the better defense. And I think that a lot of the misdirection stuff that Chad Morris likes to throw out there, Georgia's linebackers and defensive line will eat that up. I don't really see Auburn doing a whole hell of a lot against that Georgia defense. And I think
you think Georgia will get off? Will we get caught off guard by a receiver throwing a pass downfield?
I don't know.
Chad Morris special?
I don't know. But I do know that I think the Georgia defense is very, very good. And I think they hold Auburn to 10 points. And I think Georgia hands the ball off and just gets their quarterback seasoned. And I think they win like 28-10. So give me Georgia to win big in their home opener. North Carolina's at Boston College. North Carolina is a 13.5-point favorite. Boston College won over Texas State by like 4 points. They did have a good opener against Duke, I believe, but... Oh man, this is a shitty matchup. I mean, there's gonna be about 8 people watching this game. It's just terrible. Comrade, what's your pick?
You know, I've said along the Tar Heels are overrated this year. I don't know where the whole their rankings are so high. I mean, I understand their big year last year. Just don't see it. And the computer, you know, doesn't have this kind of bias. The computer cracks numbers, and the computer basically told me the same thing. They win the game, but don't cover the spread. Final score, UNC 29, Boston College 21. Take the Eagles to cover that 13.5 in honor of Doug Flutie.
Comrades, once again, picking with his heart. He tells you it's computer.
No, I'm not. This is computer. This is computer. All it's computer.
Kale, what's your pick? This is another good thing about Kale. Kale doesn't pick with his heart, so... This comrades over there just hoping that his team can be the more relevant Carolina when they're not. But go ahead, Kale.
15-7.
I was impressed with Boston College against Duke last week. Not as impressed with them against Texas State, but I don't put a whole lot into that because that was against a foe that somebody at Boston College never seen before that plays a style of football. It's one of those smaller, faster teams. That, you know, Boston College not really normally used to playing in ACC play. This is a team that North Carolina, I mean, they don't see each other very often, being on opposite sides of the ACC there. And that road game, North Carolina hadn't played in what? They've only played one game, right?
Yep. North Carolina's got one game under their belt. The other one got COVID out.
The Charlotte game went canceled.
Comrade, can we use COVID as a verb? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kale.
What?
I was just wondering if we could call. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I keep messing Kale up.
But Boston College, we have seen they are able to throw the ball around a little bit now. The Notre Dame transfer quarterback able to throw the ball around a little bit, but they still. Lean on that running game and have the ability to ugly a game up. And I think that they'll cover the spread here. I think they'll keep this one fairly close with a chance to pull off an upset. I'm with the comrade in the camp that I think that USC is just a little bit overvalued right now. So give me the Boston College Eagles. Fly high.
I'm taking North Carolina here because North Carolina has playmakers on the offensive side of the ball that Boston College cannot match up with. Boston College will do a good job on as far as they've got, two all-ACC players on their offensive line, so they might run the ball a little bit, but I think North Carolina will tune them up. I think North Carolina's going to win like 45 to 18, something like that. So give me North Carolina to cover the big, huge number there of 13.5. Texas A&M at Alabama. Alabama is a 17.5 Alabama. Point favorite. This game is at Alabama. I wonder if both teams actually put out a good performance last week just to or if they held something back. But first big SEC West matchup of the weekend. Comrade, what's your pick, bud?
A&M's overrated as well. They're kind of like the UNC of the SEC. I think they're way overvalued this year. I like their quarterback. I think he's got some flashes. But the rest of the team cannot stack up to Bama. I think if this game was played like end of the year, this point's probably about 25, 26, something like that. The computer says the following: Alabama 45, A&M 21. Bama rolls, take the Tide, give the points.
Kale, what's your pick, buddy?
Yeah, A&M, not impressive last week. You know, their top offensive playmaker, I guess, besides Kellen Mond, the wide receivers, last name's Osborne or something, opted out like right before the season started. That was a big blow to them on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, I just, you know, I don't think that they're what they're cracked up to be. Just, I mean, I don't want to, you know, pour too much into the Vanderbilt thing, but God dang, I mean, you got to. I mean, Vanderbilt's not good. I mean, you can only muster 17 points against them at home. I mean, they got some problems, okay? And I think Alabama will tune them up. This is not going to be close. Give me the Crimson Tide to roll in this game.
I'm also taking Alabama, and I'll tell you why. When Kellen Mond plays against a defensive line that can get to him, when he gets pressured, he is not worth a shit. I mean, he really isn't. Clemson beat him up, what was it, last year when he played against them? I think that Alabama's going to get in the backfield a lot. I really, really do. And I think Alabama covers this big number here. And they win. I think they win like 38-10, something like that. So give me Alabama to pick up the win there. Virginia at Clemson. Clemson is a 28.5 point favorite over the Cavaliers. Comrade, what's your pick on that one?
Once again, we're going with the computer. Now, if I picked my heart, I'd pick Virginia 28, Clemson nothing. But it's about the computer. It's about the computer. And
if this is all about the computer, if you win, are you going to clean the computer
up? The ACC blows a dick, and Virginia is one of those ACC teams that's awful. And so the computer has this one, a big blowout, big time blowout. This is a final score that will make the people with dyslexia scream. Clemson 61, Virginia 16. 61-16. Take the Clemson Tigers to cover the 28.5 point spread in this one.
Kale, what's your pick, buddy?
Okay, well, I don't think the score is going to be that. But I do like the Taters to cover in this one. First ACC game at home. Now, Virginia got a win last week against Duke. Had to come from behind to do it. But they caused seven turnovers against Duke, seven times. And Duke turned the ball over. And they only won by a little more than two touchdowns. So that's kind of problematic, I think. I mean, I just don't smell what they're cooking. I think that Clemson will get out ahead in this one early and just coast. And I think they'll probably win it by like 35 points. So give me Taters cover against the rebuilding Virginia Cavaliers.
I like Clemson to cover, too. The only reason that Clemson wouldn't cover in this game is if Dabo decides to pull the starters. That's pretty much yeah. If he's got Tyson Famechu playing in the second quarter after Lawrence leads them to three touchdown passes in the first, then Virginia may be able to scrap out something there. If they try to get DJ Ugonglehi into the mix and just trying to get him reps, you know, that could happen too. What? What's that?
What?
I thought Conrad said something. Anyway, I think Clemson covers, and they win big there over Virginia. Next matchup, South Carolina plays at Florida. Florida is a 21.5-point favorite over the Gamecocks. Remember, Conrad is on record. We have the receipts, ladies and gentlemen. He thinks Kyle Trask is a fraud. He thinks Florida is overrated. What does your computer tell you, Conrad?
Well, I mean, you know, bottom line is this. I think the Gamecocks, you know, forget my computer right now. I'll get that in a second. But personally, the Gamecocks will be in this ball game. Now, will we win the game? I mean, the Gamecocks have to play smart. And have they shown they can play smart? No. Maybe they will this week. And maybe the football guys will show up as well, because the football guys owe the Gamecocks greatly over the last two seasons against Florida, greatly. And so if the game is close and the football gods come in and Kyle Trask regresses like the pro football scouts I mentioned said he would this year, maybe the Gamecocks have a chance to pull the upset. We need to make sure that Israel is playing. We can't stop Pitts without him. That's the only problem I see. That being said, the Gamecocks will not get blown out in this game. If they think they're going to get blown out, you don't know football. They will not get blown out in this game. They'll be in the ball game. Do I think they'll win? Probably not. But they'll be in the ball game. And the computer verifies this. It verifies it. Florida 35, Gamecocks 23. Very much like the Kansas State-Oklahoma game last week in terms of the computer. Same kind of spread it was, same kind of game. And all you need is a little play that goes, a little 14-point turnaround. A play where Kyle Trask and the Gators are driving inside a 20-yard line. He throws a little out pattern, doesn't quite see someone, boom, pick six, 14-point spread, and suddenly – 14-point turnaround, and the Gamecocks pull the upset. So it can happen. I'm not predicting the Gamecocks will win this game based on what I saw last week from the Gamecocks defensively. I'm still annoyed by their defense, but I think their offense will be very good. I like their offense. They'll be in the ball game. It will probably be a frustrating Gamecock loss for fans who were just so close to them they can't get it done. But they'll cover the spread easily. Cover the spread.
Fuck him. I don't ever want to see the motherfucker again.
That's kind of what Kale's going to be saying after this game. But, Kale, what's your pick for this game, buddy?
Now, I differ on my prediction of this game with our spread versus what the spread is right now. It's very, very different. The spread right now is 18 points. Ours is 21.5. So it's been bet down a little bit. At 18 points, I like the Gators. They would lay 18 with them at 21.5. I just can't pull that one. That little half point got me. Do I think the Gamecocks will be able to score and move the ball somewhat here? Yes, I do. Last week, looking at Florida defense, confirmed doo-doo. They gave up a million yards to Ole Miss. Problem is, they scored and gained 1.5 million themselves. The Kyle Pitts guys have been a matchup nightmare. And Comrade said, if Mukwamu doesn't play, that's going to be a problem. I don't think he plays. They got him listed as day-to-day. And we know that Muschamp.
Yeah, Muschamp's a liar. He's probably got a torn ACL, broken ankle, broken back. Muschamp's like he can play.
He's a confirmed bullshitter.
Yep.
You're not going to get anything from him on the injury front, anything truthful anyway. So I'm concerned that he doesn't play. That could lead to a long afternoon. So some young guys are going to have to step up, but 21.5, just consider our history with them the past couple of years and how we've kept it close, kept it competitive, and hell, 2 years ago, they had the game. The game was won. I don't know what the fuck they did in the damn fourth quarter, but it wasn't damn no semblance of big boy football. Anyway, at 21.5 spread here, I'm taking the Gamecocks to cover.
Real quick, for those who are brand new to the show, these point spreads are the opening lines, okay? We do our contest on the opening lines. And so I like it that way because one thing you can kind of tell where the money's going, as Cale said, the reason why it's 18 now is because everyone believes in Boom. That's what it tells me. Gamblers believe in Muschamp. I mean, bottom line, believe in Muschamp to keep it close. And so they're betting on the Gamecocks to cover the spread, and it's down to 18 now. So that's what it tells you. Am I lying, Rob, or not? Am I lying?
Lying
is
about
the money
what?
Going to the Gamecocks? Yes. Now I will say this. Now
I mean, hold on. They're not putting the money on the Gamecocks because of Muschamp. They're putting it on them because of
who
the
is
Ole Miss
the, who
defense.
Is the coach?
The Ole Miss defense did something.
Who is the Gamecocks
As
coach?
Cale
who is the
says, coach? It has nothing to do with you. It's everything to do with
coach?
Florida. Remember,
okay.
You are a shit show,
okay.
And you need
okay.
to keep, remember
you know. Okay.
where you are.
They believe in Boom. That's what it is.
Nobody believes
Gamblers
in that.
Gamblers believe in
Get
Boom in this game
that
to cover
shit.
The spread. That's all.
I have more confidence in I don't know, going over Niagara Falls in a water barrel with 18 holes in it that
That's
I have
near my hometown right there. Near my hometown. The Sharps love Boom in this one. Bottom line. So the spread moved. The big money. The big money. Got put in the Gamecock. So that actually kind of scares me a little bit. You never like to bet with the public. But I'm going with the computer. I'll take care of that.
So for this game, I talked with former Florida Gators tight end Ben Troop today on my Fox Sports radio show. And we talked a little bit about Kyle Pitts and Kyle Trask. And he thinks that the Gators are going to run roughshod over the South Carolina Gamecocks. Now,
why the hell wouldn't he?
Because he's. It's not like he's playing anymore, Cale. He gave me some reasons why. If you would like to hear those, I can give them to you. Can I continue, sir?
Go ahead.
Okay. So the former Florida tight end said that with the Trask connection with Pitts is going to be tough for the Gamecocks to handle, in addition to the fact that the Gamecocks may be without Mukwamu. But here is something that is interesting. If you look at the past matchups in the Swamp, all right, there was in the last matchup in Gainesville was the matchup where the Gamecocks got up big, but that sorry-ass Will Muschamp defense gave out on them again, and they lost by 4, a game that the Gamecocks should have won. You had a 20-7 matchup in 2016. The Gamecocks won in 2014 there. They got hammered by 33 in 2012. So they don't
that
when the Gamecocks
fuck.
Yeah, that was an embarrassing
game.
I
remember that. I was mad as hell that day.
Yeah. Well, but when you look at the Gamecocks in Gainesville, they have had some times where they've gotten blown out. But here's what I'm gonna do with this game today. I have zero faith.
They also won a division championship down there too, didn't they?
They did.
Yep. Was that? Did they win? Was that? Yeah, the only division championship you got. But anyway,
they did. Lattimore took over.
It don't matter. They won a division championship. Moving on.
Well, man, we can move on all we want. But when we talk about division championships and how Mizzou has twice as many as you do, it's like, oh well, Mizzou got fucked by the schedule. And
don't get mad. Rob's still mad about that. 10 years later, that's what Rob wanted to fire.
Mizzou's a better program than South Carolina.
I think Rob wanted to fire that week. The week after that,
Mizzou has a better program than South Carolina. They've won more SEC championships.
Gamecocks.
So that's one thing that you two can't really argue with me about. Mizzou's been in the conference for what 8 years, and they have twice as many SEC East championships as you do.
Yeah,
and the only thing you say is, well, the East was shit.
Well, they got to the championship game too.
The East was shit. The East was shit. But they're a better program than you are. You're just above Vanderbilt in my mind. Seriously. At least
worst neighbors
says
Comrade lives in the world.
Them 5 points of Texas A&M, so we might be below them.
Rush neighbors, I'm 15-7 against the spread this year, so I'm no fantasy world.
No, you're not 15-7. Your computer is. Everybody else is using their own intellect. You've said over and over again that you can't
15-7. So,
but, But worst Mike, you said over and over and over again that you can't, you're not going to go with what your heart thinks or what your football mind thinks.
Well, I'm
you're
not going to go with my heart. Computer, I'm going with the computer.
Which is basically saying, I'm too stupid to make picks, so I'm going to go with the computer.
What my brain says, so.
Isn't that what you're doing?
What does it tell you?
I'm too stupid to make picks, so I'm just going to go with the computer. That's basically what you're told.
Well, the computer, though, I input kind of the things I find important that spit out the numbers, so two. So keep that in mind, too. But 15-7, so come at me, Rush Neighbors.
Anyway,
you wouldn't be 15-7.
So
you're afraid of the board during the contest. Let me guess, you didn't know about the contest. So I
wouldn't
know about
finish?
It.
No one gives a
first
shit about how you have sex with your computer, Mike. No one cares.
I would have joined it, but I didn't get paid that week.
No one cares. Yeah. Anyway, so I came down to it, and I think 21.5 points is a big, huge, huge line. So what I'm going to do is I have zero faith in South Carolina. But I am taking the Gamecocks on this note. Here's the best part. No, here's the best part. If the Gamecocks cover, great. I pick up a point in the standings. If they lose, I get to laugh hysterically.
My theory. Oh, you're stealing the comrades.
That's not your theory. You let the computer think for you.
That's how I do it at Clemson all the time. I do the same thing. I go, I like when I get to pick Clemson to cover, because if they cover, I get a point. If they don't, I get to mock you. You just use my. That's okay. It's all right. It's fine.
I have zero faith in South Carolina. I think the spread is just too big. I think the spread is just too big. The game will never be in doubt. Let's make sure we understand that. You're taking a shit show team down there.
It will not be in doubt.
It will not be in doubt.
The Gamecocks will be in the game in the fourth quarter.
It will not be in doubt. It will not be.
They'll probably blow a lead. The Gamecocks will probably lead the whole game and probably blow a lead in the fourth quarter.
Fuck out.
Like they did like 2 years ago. 2 years ago in Florida.
Will you stop thinking that you're good? Just stop it. It's so cute, but stop it. It's ridiculous. Anyway, I'm taking South Carolina. I think they will cover the spread. The 21.5 is just a little bit too big of a line, in my opinion. All right, so there you go, gentlemen. There is our picks as we have them set up here.
Line, as Walt on 105.5 Roar says, it's fundamentally wrong.
Fundamentally wrong. There you go. So my response has been recorded there. All right. So
you like that tweet of his? I retweeted it out last night. That caller into the show up there. The guy Gamecock Will normally calls in with some pretty dumb shit, but he is the one that turned me on to Gunnar Stockton. I didn't know who the guy was.
Yeah.
And he mentioned something about him back in June, but he called into the show up there yesterday. He made a comment that we said, "Well, what's the deal with us? We got $1 million chicken and a $10 head coach."
Yeah. Well, I Rush Neighbor says never quote Walt. The guy's an idiot. There's a lot of idiocy going around right now.
I bet you he's right more than you.
Jason Raines, real quick, he asked about the Missouri-Tennessee game. Jason Raines, the computer, the comrade computer, which is 15-7 against the spread, has Missouri winning the game outright. Okay, outright. But we're taking plus 11.5 to be safe. But look for that game right there, Missouri pulling the upset in Tennessee.
I just think the Gamecocks had several opportunities to win that game last weekend, and they didn't do it. And just from what I saw of Missouri, they look like a better coached team than South Carolina. I mean, I know that's crazy to say, a guy in his first game coaching a team in a brand new conference, his second year basically as a head coach, but they did. I mean, they look like a better coached team to me, and I think they'll take advantage of Tennessee.
Kale, if you want a Walt Deptula tube top, we'll get that for you, man. No problem. Brock wants to know about the Tiger Phil thing. We could talk about that for a moment. Do you want to talk about that or not? No?
Sure.
Why?
Sure.
All right, well, Kale wants to talk about it. So I have a... But this is something that's interesting to me because I think I've told you guys this. I worked for the South Carolina Radio Network for like, I think, 4 years, and I worked directly with Phil Kornblut. who by the way, is called Tiger Phil by Gamecock fans and Phil Corncoot by Clemson fans. The guy is one of the – I mean, he's the guy who started recruiting here in South Carolina.
Which tells you he's doing a really good job of being balanced because both fan bases think it is.
Exactly. Thank you for that. So I can give you how the stuff that I know from working with him, and I've known him for 15 years now, okay? Phil Kornblut is a straight down the line, like old school Walter Cronkite journalist. He's going to ask questions that are tough. He catches hell from both sides, and he's at the point in his career where he doesn't give a shit what you think of him. And that's just the way that Phil is. And if he were here, he would say the same thing. Now, but he's also one of the most polite people and one of the most nice people that you'll meet on this planet. So I get frustrated when people run their mouths and say stuff about him that's just absolute horseshit. But then I realize I shouldn't get upset because Kornblut doesn't give a shit. He's going to continue to do his job. Now, me personally, I wouldn't have asked Will Muschamp the question about the whole thing of it's a fucking joke. The thing with Will Muschamp and Outtake getting out, that's just stupid. People getting just dumbness, okay? What's bigger though on that front is that the idiot that runs that stupid podcast is getting all the credit for it and for letting it out. We will not mention his name here because fuck him. But they ask Will Muschamp about it. And to be honest, I thought Will Muschamp, you know, his response, he could have been better with it. But let's just be honest, it was shitty and it should have been brought up in the press conference anyway. But if Kornblut thinks that it's something that's out there that the people that listen to his show and the stuff that he writes for, that's what people want to hear, then he's going to ask about it. And he's earned his stripes and his respect from everybody else. So in my mind, maybe I'm biased on this because I know the guy forever, but just stop. Stop with the whole thing of him being Tiger Phil. That's disrespectful. That's absolutely disrespectful, and Muschamp shouldn't have said that. We goof off and call Muschamp a failure and everything else, but the reality is that Muschamp said that, and he's completely uninformed on the subject. Calling him Tiger Phil in your press conference there is bullshit, and he shouldn't have done it. And I'll go toe-to-toe with the comrade and Kale and everybody else. But he did that to discredit Phil Kornblut, who's been covering South Carolina sports for 30 years. He tried to make him look like an asshole in front of the Gamecock fan base. And he shouldn't have done it. I don't care what anybody says. It's ridiculous. So, comrade, you and Kale defend your coach.
What context was he using it in, though? Because a tiger is known for being tenacious. That's the kind of the journalist that Phil is. So, I mean, what is that? Why is it negative? I mean, that's a good thing.
But that's not, right? Kale, you're trying to cover the coleslaw with in the wound there, brother. It's not. He shouldn't have said it. Simple as that. He called him Tiger Phil.
He shouldn't have given him a compliment? I don't understand.
Wait, real quick. We got a dumbass in the car. Chris Williams, been following 3 weeks now. Y'all picks not very good, stay fans. Chris, I am 15-7 against the spread.
Picks are horrible.
15-7, Chris. Now listen,
I'm 14-8
for 3 weeks. Whoa, I want to take care of my boy Chris real quick. You've been following for 3 weeks. And you didn't join the contest. Now, either you don't have $20, I could have loaned you the money, or you frayed. Okay, so listen, man, that's fine. 15-7, what's your record, Rob?
What are you? You're 14-8.
14-8. So that's 29-17 a combined pick. So percent wise.
Get on single, thanks to Whisper.
Percent wise, Chris. That's pretty good. That beats most touts, Chris. I'm not sure if you're not paying attention. I don't know, but I'll take 15-7, 14-8. It's pretty good.
Let me address Delta 900. He says, and if calling him Tiger Phil discredits Phil Kornblut, you don't get it. You're not making sense here. Then Kornblut has a lot of weak-kneed friends and colleagues. It's not his friends and colleagues. His friends and colleagues know who he is. Do you not understand that? It's to the person who listens to the press conference, and they automatically think that he's some Clemson fan in there that's asking questions. That's what I'm talking about. The casual South Carolina fan will think that he is just a guy that is Tiger Phil because Will Muschamp called him that. Muschamp shouldn't have done that. Muschamp shouldn't have done that. I don't give a shit. He shouldn't have done it.
Muschamp looks, it's not, I understand Muschamp's under pressure. I understand that, you know.
Well,
I get it. But Muschamp, you can't, listen, I know he's mad. I'd be pissed too if I made that thing and it got released, but it's not Phil Kornblut's fault.
It's not.
Muschamp did say he was going to address it after the game, and he didn't, which I don't blame him because it was a tough loss. But I mean, it was a legit question, and you know, Muschamp is being mad. I think he's mad at the person who released it, whoever did. That's fine. He took it out on Phil. Well, hopefully, Muschamp called Phil afterwards and apologized. You know what? That was pretty dumb. I wasn't mad at you. I'm mad at whoever the asshole was who released it. And buried it that way, and maybe he'll apologize.
And then that would have been fine, but he had to get the pop in there on Phil, which it just shouldn't happen. But we don't have to get into that. But the whole thing with I would personally like to find out who released it. He mentioned Sean King, who does a lot of the virtual stuff there for the Gamecocks. Justin King. Yeah, I'm thinking Sean King. Anyway, Justin King, who does a lot of the audio video work and stuff like that. As somebody who produces a lot of people, okay, and I've produced stuff for Richard Petty to Marcus Lattimore to just a slew of famous people. If I played you their outtakes, you would be like, holy shit, I can't believe some of these people said some of these things. So whoever released it wasn't a very good person. They were just releasing shit to be silly. Uh-huh. And it should have never gotten out, to be honest.
And I'm going to blast Muschamp for it, but also this happens in the upstate. The little Rubbing the Rock website and the dude who blocked me, Jay Benz, with the bald head and the skin so thin, it's fucking hard to believe. I mean, he's mad because reporters asked Dabo about his comments on the BLM movement, and he felt that they should have their credentials taken because they're gotcha questions.
Well, but
it happens.
And once again, to show that I'm completely transparent, he is wrong. He is completely wrong. You are the head coach, and up at Clemson, Dabo Sweeney should be asked those questions. He should be asked those questions, period. When you're when you're a coach that's won two national titles in the past 4 years, you're going to get a lot more press than a lot of other coaches, and they're going to ask you questions that are going to be something that may try to trip you up. They were asked, and reporters asked dumb shit. They were asking Trevor Lawrence about his favorite football team when he was growing up, and he said something about he watched the Falcons because his friends liked the Falcons. So then Falcons beat writers are writing about, wow, Trevor Lawrence would like to play for the Falcons. It's not what he said. So I mean, they take and they spin stuff all the way around, and it's just not cool. But the guy who wrote that piece for Rubbing the Rock is wrong, and he got his moment in the sun. But the reality is that you should have the opportunity to ask whatever the hell questions you want. But he's wrong. Muschamp's wrong. They should figure out who the fuck released the video. My wife's in the other room and said Muschamp released it for good publicity. I don't know if that's true or not. Anyway. All right. So, gentlemen, I think we've put together a good show. Looking forward to the games this weekend. You guys have anything else you want to add?
Looking forward to a big weekend. I mentioned baseball playoffs going on. You got college football, NFL, NBA finals going on. So pretty good weekend. For all the crap we had to deal with the COVID, this is a pretty good sports weekend to sit back and get some payback from the misery we had earlier. So,
as you can see here, I'm showing the camera here. My wife is texting me during the show with her comments. Why don't we just get her a microphone in there and she can just...
Why don't she just call in? Why don't she call in the show?
She should call into the show. We could have her as a guest. She'll be telling me, you should be nicer to the comrade and don't make fun of his lisp.
That's right.
That's what she'll say. Kale, you got anything else, buddy?
No, but looks like we have gained a lot of new Gamecock fans for this weekend's game against the Florida Gators. Anyway, it looks like Vol Nation is supporting the Gamecocks. I don't know if that's because a lot of times, you know, when you beat a team, you kind of pull for them to win down the stretch because it makes you look better. For some reason, I think that they're pulling for the Gamecocks to beat Florida because I think that they think they actually have a shot at winning the SEC East, which is comical. But be that as it may, we'll take all the fans we can get. We need them, by God.
If you're watching on Facebook.
Thoughts, prayers, flowers, everything else. Thank you cards, whatever you send our way. Bring it.
If you're watching on Facebook, subscribe to Kale's YouTube channel, which is at Carolina Jackpot. And by the way, we had a record number of folks that tuned into the show. Big time downloads from Sunday's show on the podcast side. I took a peek at the YouTube numbers. I can't remember what it was, but apparently the Gamecocks losing makes our numbers spike. I wonder if let's say the Gamecocks go and beat Florida this weekend. I wonder if we'll have like a shit ton of more people come back and.
Oh, dude! I will tell you they did because last year after every game on Sunday I did a recap and I hit close to 10,000 views after the Gamecocks lost to Missouri, which I recapped. And I hit, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 views after our loss to UNC to open the season, but only about 2,000 views on my jubilation video after we beat Georgia. So
nobody wanted to see
I
that
think
shit.
The truth to that.
All right. Well, with that, gentlemen, look forward to the games. Be sure to check out the fifth quarter postgame show on WVOC in Columbia. We'll be streaming that live on the WVOC Facebook page.
I might call into it again like I did the other day.
I didn't know you called in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He did call in. That's right. I remember now. We played the call. That's right. With that, the show's a wrap.